Ladies and gentlemen, the Conservative Daily Podcast is back.
And now your host,
Joe Altman.
So I get to be bad right now.
No.
No, I can't?
No.
Come on, Josh.
I have to play parent.
All right. Well, so I don't have a lot of fear. I think most of you probably know that. I'm willing to. Are you going to move over? All right. I'm willing to take chances because I think it's important to talk about truth. I think it's important to talk about what's really happening. And if we stop talking about what's really happening, we put ourselves in a position where they win. Well, they get to censor us and they get to suppress us and they get to persecute us. And persecution has come. By the way, if you want to call and talk about this, 888-441-1121. Yeah, 888-441-1121. I'll definitely have a conversation with you about it. And I think this hour, we're not going to talk about green energy killing people. We know it did kill people. And Josh took away my background, so he's not going to let me be on the beach anymore. Although I did spend a little bit of time on the beach. I didn't spend a lot of time there. It was very warm. So if you're actually listening and you were adversely affected, I am sorry. I think that humor has a way of, you know, making us feel a little bit better. So I'm not doing it to be mean. I'm just, you know, trying to maintain a little bit of lightness to the what you're dealing with right now. But I want to bring some stuff up. Specifically, I want to talk about John. What was his name? John Sullivan. Is it John Sullivan? He was the Antifa guy that sold his, was at the Capitol that had a contract with CNN to provide footage inside the Capitol. And it, he got paid $35,000 by CNN. You could hear him on the video encouraging people to come into the Capitol. And got paid $35,000 to do it. Now, what's interesting about that is that he's also not facing charges. He's facing charges, but not the same type of charges that everyone else is facing. So, do we have a copy of that? Do you have that? Can you put that up? The actual contract that he had with CNN. If you can bring that up. Every time I turn around, every day I turn around, I actually have this thing where I go to multiple different sites. So I go to CNN and Fox and OAN and MSNBC just to get a perspective of what people are saying. And what I can tell you is true is this. The news that some people that are left-leaning are getting is not the same news as reality. And you could turn that around if you were on the left and say, well, the news that you're getting from OAN is not really the news that's actually happening. But then you have to put it against the litmus test of truth. Then you have to go through and look at the documentation. You can't be lazy. You have to look at things a little bit deeper and say, okay, tell me if this is actually accurate or if I'm being manipulated. It doesn't take that long or much effort to dig just below the surface and figure out that fact checkers are lying. The fact checkers are spreading mistruths or trying to suppress truth. It does not take very long. Any normal person on the outside, if you were just walking into a situation, and let's just call it a car wreck. So you had a car accident. You had two cars that collided into each other, and one was in its on its side of the road, and the other one, you know, merged over and crashed into that car. Well, if the first car was supposed to be on the right side of the road and the other one is on the wrong side of the road, whose fault is it? But what the left has done is that they've said, well, what really should have happened is the guy that was on the right side of the road, he should have gotten off the road and let the guy that was on the wrong side of the road go. Do you understand that logic? I mean, do you understand the logic that they actually use? They justify their position. They justify this kind of bizarro world behavior. Bill de Blasio in New York, and I'll use this as another example, had a impromptu dance-off in a empty part of the street. And in that dance-off, after watching it and having it publicized, said, New York is back. From what? What is it back from? Is it back from Cuomo actually hiding nursing home deaths? fudging numbers, making sure that he got his Emmy. What is it back from? We could walk through each one of these different scenarios, and you come to the conclusion that they live in an alternate reality. So I do go to CNN and I do go to MSNBC, and it's a stark difference. I'm just going to use headlines, right? So on CNN, talks about Texans without power, no end in sight. You go to Fox News and it talks about power. That power's almost, what does it say? Power soon to be restored. One is drama, 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 drama. They're never going to get power back. I mean, by their terms, you'd think there was never going to be power back. And one says, hey, power soon to be restored to people in Texas. How can you have two completely different perspectives of the same situation? Are they getting the information from different people? Or are they just not taking the information that they've been given and actually making or coming to a conclusion that would give people the facts? I think the latter is true. So I spent a little bit of time while I was down in Florida, and I'm not going to tell you what I was doing down in Florida, but I was doing the things that I told you that I would be doing related to this fundraise that we want to do in order to build a data tech cradle-to-grave solution. And while I was down there, there's a couple things that I noticed. One, no one was wearing masks. That's not true. People were wearing masks, but once they got into the environment they were in, we talk about a restaurant, they weren't wearing masks, which I guess when you're sitting at the table, you wouldn't. But when you're walking on the street, there was nobody wearing masks. About 40% of the people that walked into restaurants, not wearing masks. Now, I went into Broward County, and they were a little bit more forceful about wearing masks in certain areas, specifically restaurants. But for the most part, everywhere else I was in Southern Florida was open, wide open. And so I came back. I'm actually coming back on the airplane. I'm flying United, and my mask is down because I'm drinking a coffee. And the woman at the counter, she's standing to the side, they're letting us in the plane, said, "Put your mask up." I said, "I'm drinking." She goes, "You can drink when you get on the plane. Put your mask up right now." I'm thinking to myself, no, the rule is not, that's actually not the rule. The rule is if you're drinking or eating, you don't have to put your mask on. So I pulled the mask up and it went just over my nose. And she goes, "All the way up, all the way to the top of your nose." And she goes, "And if I have to tell you again, you're not getting on the plane." Well, I fly United quite a bit. And I look over at the guy that is, checking people through the lane. And he goes, "Yeah, they're pretty serious about this mask deal." And I'm thinking to myself, I fly you guys all the time. This is the first time that I've ever had someone question me for drinking a coffee while I'm waiting to go through the line. So it's just, it's two parts of this deal. You now have people that don't want to wear masks. You have they think that they've actually established roots, that everyone should wear a mask, everyone should have a vaccine, everyone should follow the government edicts, that there were never any vaccines when Biden took office, even though Biden took it back in 2020. So you can start to see that over time, if you don't challenge these societal norms that they're trying to build, sooner or later, we'll find ourselves in a place where that will become the sidewalk that's dry, and you'll walk on it, and that'll just become the thing that people do. And right now they're trying to basically get everyone to wear a mask by saying, "Hey, you have to wear two masks." And frankly, I only wear a mask on the airplane because you can't fly on an airplane at all. You can't take a stand and say, I'm not going to wear a mask, because they will ban you. So you have to wear a mask on an airplane. But I think to myself, I wonder what would happen if everyone showed up, didn't wear a mask. I wonder what would happen if everyone said, "We're not going to get a vaccine." And right now, it looks like statistically, there are 50, 55% of the people in the population that said, "I'm not going to get a vaccine." But you have to wonder what societal norms are. What am I looking at? Your screen. Okay, you got somebody online. Okay, we have Kristen that wants to join us and talk. Kristen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Joe. Thank you. Yeah, so my question is actually about the earlier topic, and I did come on the show a little bit late, so I didn't hear what you guys had to say, but I had shared about the green energy concerns in Texas, yeah. And one of my friends who's from Texas, you know, basically said I called bullshit on me, you know, and, you know, her perspective is that wind power makes up only about 10 to 15% of the power used, and it's not the main concern.
It's 22%.
The main concern was more.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Why don't
okay.
you go ahead and put that up real quick? If you'll just put up the let me walk through the power that's used in Texas. So coal makes up 18%. Solar makes up 14%. Wind makes up 22%, and natural gas makes up 46%. So between solar and wind, you have 36% of the power that is used in Texas comes from those two renewable energies. So your friend's wrong.
I mean, yeah, okay. So she, yeah. Her perspective was that, you know, there wasn't enough that they actually have closed down some of the power plants for maintenance right before the storm instead of getting ready, but
well, that is true. Some of the power plants were on maintenance schedules. They're normalized maintenance schedules that happen every quarter, but that doesn't mean that nobody knows. I mean, you don't have a weatherman that comes out and says, you know, maintenance for a power plant doesn't necessarily shut down the entire power plant either. It'll shut down certain parts or capacity within the power plant. But when you have an event like this, you don't know when you set the maintenance schedule for the middle of February that you're going to be facing an ice storm. So there are certain parts of this that were just unavoidable. I think that if you would have had more natural gases or fossil fuel based plants, it would have weathered it fine. But I also believe that you can't. It's like having a hurricane. You don't know the damage until the damage is done. And so a certain part of this is that 35% is a large portion of your power grid to have come from green energy when those green energies can't survive something like this. And the push is to make it more green. So in the future, if you look at the plans for Texas to for energy or power in the future, they have a bunch of green energy projects that they want to launch across the country. Well, if they can't survive this event and it killed people, you know, we can't rely on a green energy environment that frankly doesn't work. It doesn't seem to work. I mean, I'm not in Texas, but Max is, and you know, the things that I was seeing from him were just, it was devastating.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you took my call because that does help. I think, you know, her perspective was that, oh, only 10 to 15% is wind. But then when you put wind and solar together, and it's not saying that we shouldn't have those things, but really looking at what's sustainable, what's that. And my perspective was also like, wind isn't that green in a lot of ways.
No,
is what
not.
I'm learning. But a lot of these other things actually, you know, we want them to be, but there's a lot of misinformation about how green all of these different sources are, including natural gas. You know, there are risks. There, you know, yeah. So,
look, it's
okay,
there's no question that we haven't figured out, you know, the perfect way to preserve our globe, and still provide the things that are necessary in our society for people to survive. There's no question we haven't figured it out. But this idea that we can run from one to another where the other one is just as bad, right? Because I don't know if you know about this, but on the wind, when they're done, they just bury them. They just when they decommission those wind turbines, they actually just take it out there in the field and they bury it. That's their solution. Doesn't sound very
right.
green, does
and
it?
And then how do they make and get the wind turbines to where they're going,
or how do they store the electricity, and you know what units they use to store that electricity. So it's a, I mean, it's a complex problem that we are dealing with. And frankly, I don't believe in, this is my opinion, so people can hate me for saying this. I don't believe in global warming, but it doesn't mean that I don't want to be a good steward of my environment. It doesn't mean I don't want to take care of our planet. I think just being a responsible human being makes you want to not fill the ocean with trash, right? They should come up with solutions for that.
Right.
Find different ways not to pollute our air. But those things are problems that I want to solve, but I don't want to use fear and propaganda in order to get it done. Although, you know, frankly, the fear and propaganda seem to rule the day in the United States and across the world these days. So maybe that is the answer for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate all of that. I really, exactly, like looking at the overall toxicity, you know, like what's leaching into the oceans, not just what's going into the air, because it's one whole ecosystem, and, you know, just looking at being good stewards, regardless of climate change issues or not, is important, and really being able to talk about all of this and make rational sense, like you say, you know, can we actually find out solutions that really do work and try to balance things instead of having everything so politicized, flipping from, you know, one potential trying to flip into an extreme of we've got to go entirely green. And yeah, I have concerns about the whole agenda around that, but and other things, but
And I think that this is a normal conversation that people should be able to have. We should be able to have a conversation and say, hey, listen, I recycle, you know, why wouldn't I recycle? Like but we've created these extremes on both sides because of the extremes. And so everyone in the middle is kind of trapped in this place where I think that most people think the way I think. Most people think the way you think, that, hey, why not? Why not recycle trash rather than bury it? Right? Why not do things to take care of our ocean and to, you know, further our food supply for generations to come? Why not do those things? You know, so I think if we could get to a place where we could have normalized conversations about why we probably want to do this, and it's not because, hey, one side wants to, you know, kill everyone and the other side wants to supposedly save everyone, we'd probably have more sensible solutions. But carbon credits and things like that actually just generate revenue for people, I'm not for those things. I think that is just somebody taking advantage of a system in order to create personal wealth at the people in our country's expense. But hey, I want to thank you for calling. Are you there? Okay. Thanks for calling. Look, we talk about renewable energy and we talk about all of these problems that we face as a nation, and it seems overwhelming. Like, there's so many of them happening. And if you go to the news and actually watch the news, you actually can get bipolar disorder if you spend too much time on one or the other. Or if you have one ideology and you end up going to CNN for too long, you find yourself really angry because they're lying. But then one side says you're lying, the other side said you're lying. But if you're only listening to CNN, if that's the only thing you get is CNN, which, by the way, in most major airports across the nation, guess what you get when you walk into the airport? CNN. When you walk into most bars or government buildings or things where they have TVs, what do you get? CNN. So the indoctrination is really strong. They want you to think that that's what everyone is watching, but it's not true. That's not what everyone is watching. And up until this year, when Fox basically abandoned, you know, conservative values and decided to run off and show their true colors, Fox was at the top, not by a small percentage, but by a massive amount, which shows you, as far as their ratings, which shows you just the number of people in the country that believe in the ideology of what we actually stand for as a nation. Yet they want to convince you, they want to tell you right now that that's not the case, that Hollywood and the political elite, they know what's best for you. And they did it on a light switch. They slowly put it out there, And now what we deal with right now is just a massive amounts of propaganda and indoctrination. They're not even pretending anymore. They're not even pretending that they're a wolf in sheep's clothing. They're not pretending that they're the good guy. They're just coming out right now and saying, look, we're just wolves. But if you really look at what they're trying to do in our society, they're also waking up lots of different people, mostly parents, where they have the 1619 Project. I don't know if most of you know about that. Do you know do you know about the 1619 Project?
I'll look it up for you. But I've heard of it, yes.
Yeah, so the 1619 Project is basically an equity project. So it used to be about equality. Hey, can we have racial equality? Well, you don't see them use that word anymore. Now they use equity. Well, equity means what? What does equity mean? It means you have $10 and I have $10. I have a house with three bedrooms. You have a house with three bedrooms. I have a bathroom. You have a bathroom, right? I don't get to drive a nicer car than you. That's equity to them. That's making sure they have a level playing field. Everyone has the same thing. Well, what else is that? That's socialism. So what part of the country is or the world is that ever worked? And by the way, in socialist countries, they're still a ruling class. So everyone wants to act like, hey, there won't be a ruling class. Yes, there will. Yes, they will. There will be a ruling class. So the 1619 Project literally is an education project. So they're basically starting at the kid level. So if you're a parent and you you want to teach your kids about Christian values, you want to teach your kids about faith, inside of this indoctrination, they want to strip those kids of their faith. They want to strip them of their ability to believe. And you'd say, oh, no. This has to do more with equity when it comes to racial and gender identity. And I would tell you that's not true. That's not true. The idea that they have now is, can they go into a school and can they teach you that, hey, you're not really a boy. You're not really a girl. You can be whatever you want, right? And then, by the way, you should have white guilt. They use guilt. They use this thing of, hey, you have more than everybody else. You shouldn't have it. And good people, you know what they're actually subject to? Guilt. We feel guilt. And so because we feel guilt, they use that guilt against us. And do you know why they don't feel guilt for doing that? Because they're sociopaths. Because they want to lie to you. They want to take from you. It's like a con, right? And we've talked about the con. I'm not allowed to talk about it. We've talked about the cons that occurred in the election. The last election we had. Those were cons. Allegedly. No, it's not allegedly. They were cons. I didn't say what happened. I can talk about the fact that there were cons. If you don't believe that there were cons, you don't believe there were people that have been arrested for election integrity issues. The fact that they actually defrauded people in different states. That actually happened. How are they going to fact check it? They can't. The second part. Yeah. So Josh doesn't want me to talk about that. Nobody wants me to talk about it.
It's not that I don't. We, the Facebook masters and the YouTube.
The Facebook masters. You guys hear that? They're listening in on us. And Eric Coomer showed up on YouTube. Or Eric Coomer's friend. I'm not allowed to talk about that either.
I'm just glad he's all a dedicated right. listener.
Now I lost my place. What were we talking about?
1619 Project.
Oh, 1619. So gender identity on one side and then racial equality on the other. And they want to basically take it and they want to make you feel guilty. So you should feel guilty because you're white. You should feel guilty because you went to a good school. You should feel guilty because you have a good job. You drive a nice car, all of that you should feel guilty about. You should give up some of that to somebody else because working hard now is ambiguous. Well, keep in mind what happens if we go down this path, the 1619 path, right? Where you get taught that math is, you can kind of just guess that we're just going to round up or round down. They're rounding off the edges. They're taking off the sharpness of what we are as a nation. It doesn't matter what color you are. What Biden said on CNN when he said that, well, people in the inner city, they don't actually know how to get on the internet. That by itself just shows you that from a racial standpoint, he believes that he is superior to those that are Hispanic and black. He believes that. I believe that there are certain people that are black or Hispanic that believe that they're superior to everyone else in their race. Now, I also believe that there are people that are bad people that are white people. But being a bad person is all about character. It has nothing to do with the content of your skin, right? The color of your skin. But they perpetuate this entire deal that, frankly, you shouldn't, you're not going to, don't work hard. That's really what they're telling you. Don't work hard. Nobody gets first place. Everyone gets a participation trophy. You can start seeing the erosion happen in our society. Now, at the same time, they're doing this deal and kids are growing up confused and they're thinking, man, am I a boy? Am I a girl? Am I gay? Am I straight? Is there something wrong with me because I'm not comfortable in my own skin? Normal things. See, they prey on the normality of people. See, kids are normal. mean, they grow up, they go through puberty, they question who they are as a person. I don't know if any person out there that hasn't at some point in their life questioned who they are. So we go down this path, and then they say, that must be what's wrong with me. I must be gay. I must not be a boy. I must be a girl. Maybe I should start painting my hand, my fingernails. This actually happens. And they condition to go in knowing that these are natural triggers that kids go through. And they don't start in after high school and go into college. They used to. Now they just, again, they don't pretend anymore. They go right into high school. They go right into elementary school, right into the middle school. Second grade, talking to kids about, hey, just wait. Gender fluidity. You don't know. You can choose later what you are. That's recruitment. But more than recruitment in that environment, you're also eroding the principles of the family. You're eroding the ability for parents to teach their kids about faith. You're eroding a parent's ability to teach them right and wrong and ethics and character and what's truth and what's not truth. All in that 8 hours that they spend out of school every single day. But what that actually does is it weakens our nation. It weakens us as a nation. And then Biden comes out and says, hey, listen, let's let China come in and actually invest in our grid infrastructure. They can't even take care of their own nation. They're the number one polluter across the world. They're not even pretending that they're even going to try and become more responsible in their environment when it comes to the environment. They have a 2030 plan to do nothing. I'm going to increase over 40% over the next couple of years. That's their words, not mine. Yet we're going to invite them into our power grid at the same time that we're over here. They can't even take care of themselves. Why would we let them into our society? Why would we let them invest in our politicians and buy our politicians? All to do what? Who are they supporting? Are they supporting you? Are they supporting our kids? Are they making us smarter? Do you think that their kids over in China go through the same sort of indoctrination? I promise you they don't. There's no 1619 project in China. No. As you saw by that picture, they have people that are on their knees with that are blindfolded going into re-education camps. Where do you think that that term re-education camps came from? Remember, they had an impeachment manager, Swalwell, Eric Swalwell, who dated a spy. And yet nothing to see here. We know it's true. She got burned. And yet he still stays in environments where he gets access to national security issues. Think about that. So when I walk through this entire process, I have to think to myself, what are we really dealing with? What are we dealing with? What does the PSYOPs lead to? What does the erosion of our kids lead to? Why would they be trying to get kids to give up their gender or their identity? Why would we strip schools of sports? I can tell you why they strip schools of sports. Watch, which by the way, over in China, they're trying to basically alter the DNA to make super soldiers. While over here, we're trying to make it easier and give kids in boot camp popsicles, and you can go through 8 or 9 times. And oh, by the way, don't yell at them. This is a real thing. We have to look at societal issues that we're actually going through right now that are caused by people on the outside influencing what we do on the inside. And so when we talk about election integrity and fraud, right, which now we're not allowed to talk about, what country does that represent? Where is there a free election over in China? Can you tell me? Where is it? Can you talk over there about election integrity? Can you talk about Hong Kong while you're there? We had a guy that worked for us that was from China. We had to change his name, alter the picture, go in through a VPN just to interview him because he was stuck there for a couple months during COVID. So where are we? Where are we as a nation if we're allowing this to happen? Why am I the only one standing up talking about it all day long? And frankly, I didn't say anything that should be wrong. I was speaking truth. I'm not lying about anything. They can't say that there's mistruths in what I'm telling you. Yet we sit here and we have conversations about what's going on in our society and we sit on pause. Pause. We just sit back. We pause and we're like, okay, who's going to do something? We expect somebody to stand up in a position of power and authority. Somebody's got to actually call it out. And then they do, but they sit on separate islands. There's no banding together that happens in our environment. And I'm not even talking about conservative environment. I'm talking about just being an American environment. Like, we eat our own. Nope. I am the center of truth. And then somebody comes and talks to you and says, hey, I'd like to do something with you. And they go, oh yeah, I can't do that. You know, I have 3 million followers. I want my 3 million followers to follow me. And if we have a conversation, they might follow you. Fear of loss, selfishness, a lack of integrity. We're adopting what's happening on the left and we don't even know it. We're not fighting against the 1619 Project. We're not fighting against what's happening in multiple places across the nation. We're not fighting against those things. We're just relenting. Here, let me give it in. Give in. Because we're afraid or have a fear of loss. I don't have any fear of loss. So why can't all the rest of us come together and say, listen, you want my followers? If somebody walks in this door, sits down next to me, and they got something really important to say, I want them here. I want to hear it. There is no mine. So there's a couple things that we're doing right now. And yeah, Nate just said more artificial scarcity. Scarcity or abundance. You see me talk about that a lot. Right? Live your life in abundance. Everything just works out. Live your life in scarcity and you get what we have in our society. Where the left, a bunch of weaklings that actually stick together. Yeah, we'll call them coomers. All the coomers just kind of huddle together, right? And then you have the rest of us over here that are strong, that can take the hits, and they prey in little groups, like little grouper fishes. I don't even know if that's a thing, but it sounded really good.
Hilarious.
Yeah. We've gotten to this place where we're paying attention, we see what's happening, but we don't put it all together, and we don't stand together. So I started this organization. I'm just going to take the time to talk about it. We started this organization called FEC United, right? Faith, Education, Commerce. Many of you have actually heard me talk about it. And we have a fourth pillar that is policy and politics, right? And, you know, C3, C4. And we're doing some amazing things, just amazing things. And we're getting involved in fights. And you know you're over the target and you're doing a lot of great things. When people are coming around you, you're growing a national presence. But that the GOP, the rhinos, hate you. This is a true story. They hate you. They want to make up stories about you. They get in bed with Antifa journalists. True story. This happened in Colorado. This happened. They wrote this really nice story about me. It wasn't nice at all. And somebody called me like, oh, Joe, you know, we're a controversial group. Okay. We're a controversial group. I don't care. Well, you know, they're saying some bad things about us. Okay. What do you want me to do about it? What do you want me to do about it when the GOP, the rhinos, the old establishment get together with Antifa? They don't want to solve the problem. So what do you want me to do about it? You want me to continue down this path or you want me to retreat? And they're like, well, maybe we should take a softer approach. No, I don't go softer approach. I don't know soft approach. I know it's right or wrong. And that's what we're going to do as an organization. So we built this thing called FEC United, and I'm right in the middle of it. And frankly, I didn't ask for any of this. We've talked about this before. So I didn't want to get involved in the Eric Coomer deal. I didn't even know I was involved in it. I didn't want to further get involved in the election integrity issues, but I found myself in it. And then I didn't really want to be the one standing up inside the community. But I saw all these other things happening. And yeah, we did some podcasts and it was under Joe Otto and not Joe Altman. And, you know, I basically used some of the things that I've learned and how I saw things that, and then I had to come out. I was like, all right, we're in the middle of this Eric Coomer deal, talking about Dominion. I have to come out and tell you who I am. So then I lost my job as a CEO. Now, I'm fine, kind of. I mean, I don't have a job, this job. I have this job. But I don't really, and I have FEC United. I don't have a paying job. How's that? I don't have a paying job.
Ouch.
Yeah,
ouch.
I don't have a paying job. But I do have a responsibility. I felt like, all right, God's taking me down this path, right? And I think that, you know, you have to follow the path that God gives you, right? If you fight against it, a lot of bad things can happen. But I basically had to step down as a result of all this because the left does this thing where they attack and bully. And they bullied my wife. They tried to bully my kids. You draw the line when you mess with my family. So I'm not going to tell you what happened, but I'm going to tell you that a few people that actually did attack I made sure I took care of that in a legal way. But you mess with my family and or my friends. I mean, it's almost as the same reasons why I'm doing FEC United. Anyway, let me get back to FEC. So I built this organization, and it grew to like 90,000 members in 7 months. And then we said, okay, with the engines and the planes in the air, we're going to do a lot of things. And FEC stands for Faith, Education, and Commerce, right? The three pillars of the community. And I was like, well, I know on the faith side, they just shut down churches and said that Targets can stay open because really the super spreader events happen in churches and they want to stop you from having, it just matches up with what they're doing, right? You look at what they're doing in China, they're trying to stop Chinese Muslims from actually practicing their faith. They put blindfolds on them, real blindfolds, and they take them to re-education camps so that they actually come back and they're, until they submit and say, I'm not going to actually ever talk about faith again, or, you know, your faith again, we're going to beat it out of you, or we're going to kill you, because that's what they do. So faith is an important part of our community here. So I just said, hey, listen, faith is an important part. Churches don't stand together. You can go back all the way back to 1963 and the letter that Martin Luther King wrote about the ineffectual nature of churches and or faith in the community. So it's not a small problem, and it's been around for a long time. So yeah, this is it. So FEC United. And so on the faith side, we wanted to, you can pull that down for a minute and talk about this. So on the faith side, we want to talk about, and if I'm boring you, tough luck. It's my show. I'm gonna bore you a little bit. So on the faith side, it's not, I didn't say churches, but churches, mosques, synagogues, right? So I'm a Christian conservative. Obviously, I speak my mind. But we want to make sure that everyone has the ability to feed their flock, right? Spiritually. It's as important as the food you eat. But more importantly, we want them to have an opportunity to stand together. So we built this portal that gives all of the churches and all of the places of faith the opportunity, places of worship, the opportunity to come together so they can fight against some of the things that we're dealing with, not just in Colorado, but across the nation, as far as taking away our right to assemble, our right to freedom of religion, our right to worship. The education part is a little bit more complicated because there's a lot of different things coming at education at the same time. In order to combat it, organizations out there historically have just gone and said, hey, my job over here is just going to be dealing with gender identity issues and stopping abortion or something, anything that happens to do with school in small segments. And I said, hey, listen, we have an education problem. We have an indoctrination problem. We have to make sure that the curriculum gets back to the basics because we can't even do that in the United States. Do you agree with me? We can't do math, science, civics. I don't even know what civics are anymore. Revisionist history. We deal with a lot of the revisionist history today. But the basics, the basic biology, English, a second language, which I think is great. It rounds out the character of individuals, helps them learn about other countries and other environments. We don't even do that. Yet we indoctrinate kids with, you know, white privilege and, you know, guilt. We give them guilt. So we take out education. We hand them hours of guilt and tell them, equity. See, it was equality. Now it's equity, right? And you allow people to become mules. You allow people to come the Salem witch project, Salem witch hunts inside of our environment. And that's what they're doing. They're hunting people. You're a witch. Nope. You're racist. Oh, you're a bigot. You're a homophobe. They walk around with pitchforks in schools, scaring kids into doing exactly what they want them to do. So on the education side, it's more important that we actually band together. So the unions, we just saw this, right? The teachers union comes out. They're really powerful. They don't stand up for the kids. In San Francisco, I don't know if you guys saw this, but in San Francisco, they actually don't. They had a meeting in San Francisco. They didn't want to talk about reopening. They want to talk about how they were going to rename schools. This has actually happened just a couple days ago. We have no priorities because parents don't have power. The perception that parents don't have power. See, parents actually do have power, but we took that power away and we said, listen, we're going to take care of your kids. I mean, I know we can't teach them math and we're really terrible at English. And the inner city schools that Democrats run are absolutely terrible, but just hand them over to us so we can teach them to be gay or transgender or queer or whatever else they want to come up with. It's craziness. So we want a parents union. We want the ability for parents to come together. Then when some craziness goes into the classroom, mob mentality. That's all they know is mob mentality. And I can tell you this, if you mess with person's kids, all bets are off. I don't know of a parent that I know that wouldn't go to jail for their kid. I don't know of anyone. I will. You hurt my kids? Mm-hmm. And my kids are older. They're 20 and 23. Exceptional human beings. Exceptional. But if you mess with my kids, so giving the parents the ability to have the ability to come together where they can see it, they're actually educated on what's being taught to their kids in school, where we can actually teach the parents to talk to their kids and say, listen, I need you to tell me what's going on in your classroom. Create that communication to break the bond that the teachers think that they have on our children's lives. So we're building that on the parent side. We're also building ways that we can actually put people, this is the policy and politics, people that are willing to say, listen, I'm going to stand up for my community. I'm going to go run for office. We're doing recalls. And we started in Colorado. We have 16 other states that we're launching. Max is really going to get mad because I'm turning this into the FEC United show. But I'm going to do it anyway. And it's my show. Well, it's Max's and my show. But it's I started this. So on the education side, we've also got to look at curriculum. We've got to look at what teachers we put in there. We've got to make sure that if we can't affect change inside of inner city schools to give people equal opportunity to education, not indoctrination, education, then we have to replace them. We have to go in and say, all right, we need a private school model. We need to, you know, make sure that we're actually looking towards legislation that allows for vouchers or where the money for a kid follows the kid. So you can actually have better opportunity to put their kids in different environments. So those are the things inside the education side that we fight for. Commerce side, much more complicated, right? We saw the Time magazine article. I don't know if you guys saw it, but time.com came out with an article that talked about the cabal and the fact that they saved us. They actually said that they saved us, that the Chamber of Commerce and big business got together to effectively remove President Trump. I don't know if you saw the stock market today, but it's down dramatically. I don't know if you saw the 1.4 million people that lost their jobs, but I don't know if you know, paid attention to the fact that the pandemic caused massive amounts of hunger, not just here, but across the world. It's predicted that 200 million people across the globe died as a result of the retraction that happened in our economy in the United States. I didn't make that up. That came from them, right? I think it was the WHO that actually came up with that, or the World Bank. So 200 million people die. Congratulations. We got to shut people down, and we had to not kill grandma. But grandma died anyway, and then they lied about it. And then they had drugs that could have helped. I'm not going to say what they are, right? I'm not allowed to do that. But they ignored it. They ignored half of science in that. But on the commerce side, our communities are suffering. It's not just restaurants, it's small businesses. They decided to keep Target open and Walmart and all of these big guys because the virus doesn't exist there. And they said, okay, we're just going to shut down small businesses because you actually aren't smart enough to understand what's best for you or your customers in the community. And so shuttered businesses across the country, nearly 20% of all small businesses shut, gone. Which means single moms can't feed their kids. And it's not just single moms. It actually hurt the most poor among us. And yet for 10 months, by the way, while these politicians are eating caviar, fighting, orange man bad, orange man bad, orange man bad, businesses were suffering and crumbling. And so the C part of this is just eliminate it. Just get rid of the Chamber of Commerce. They have outstayed their welcome. There's no teeth in it. They don't do anything to help businesses. I mean, the several lawsuits that we had in Colorado and across the nation, we got involved in. We saw amicus briefs in those lawsuits. We contributed to the lawsuits, right? Why? Because that's what we should be doing. We should be doing things to put teeth in it. Every single time we put a lawsuit up, they buckled. They buckled. They're like, now the lawsuit's not necessary because, you know, the Supreme Court came out and said that places of worship can stay open. This happened all over. Or you get down the lawsuit path, you're like $30,000. Oh, we've already spent $30,000, spent $40,000. We want to build an entire model that allows businesses in the community, regardless of your political affiliation. We don't care if you're a small business. There's a pretty high likelihood that you're conservative or slightly conservative. So we want to give you the opportunity to have someone stand up for you. And more importantly than that, we want to be able to combine businesses so that other business people can actually support you. I mean, novel concept. Have people in your community actually support you and eliminate some of the chaos that we've dealt with historically. So that's the commerce part. We've had an immense amount of success. Like when restaurants and everything closed down in Memorial Day weekend, this is before we even had FEC, we had Reopen Colorado. I started that too because I'm a troublemaker, right? So you had these two things and we got 460 restaurants to open in one day before Memorial Day when King Polis, the governor of Colorado, who's an absolute crap bag, he decided that no, small businesses can't open, restaurants can't open. And now they are tethered. Businesses are tethered. They have this five-star program to basically say you can operate at 50%, barely survive. Again, it's the opportunity that they have to beat us. And what we're saying is, all right, let's take a minute, step back, stabilize, think about a strategy to go forward, and then let's just go crush the government. Let's go crush them. And I don't mean get out there and crush them with hammers. But I mean, they think we've become peasants and slaves in our own environment, not just in this state, but across the nation. So I talk a lot about the things that I do at Conservative Daily. When I'm not doing this and I'm not, you know, setting up and doing things to build a tech company and making sure that I'm flying to meet with certain people that can actually influence, you know, how quickly we can get this alternative off the ground, we're dealing with, you know, obviously, how do we save our society? How do we give people hope in our society? All right, we have a caller, Jessica, that's on the call. Wants to know why you haven't started a news channel to fight the masters of the universe. Ooh, this is a good one. How you doing, Jessica?
How are you, Joe?
I love what you're doing.
You're such a good person. But I want to challenge you because I don't want to keep you on the phone. I don't want to take up all the airtime. Definitely keep FEC, UADF, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't have a lot of, you've made a lot of contacts in this industry. And I think what we're moving towards, our society needs a lot of love,
mm-hmm.
and we need the real news.
Yeah,
we need the real news on what's going on, and only those will survive at the end of the day, because CNN gone, Fox gone. So I just want to plant that seed with you, because we need people like you. This world needs love. We need to raise the energy of the earth, and we need good things. We need to take back our country.
Yeah,
and we need to give each other love.
Yeah, I do agree. And look, it's hard not to be in the fight as deep as I am and not feel a little bit of the pain, right? It's like somebody cuts their arm off. You want to figure out where the pain's coming from and you want to defend it. And so I find myself constantly having to come back every morning. You know, I have devotionals where every morning I read the Bible. I go through a devotional. I have prayer. Because if I skip one day, my fear is that I slide into a place where I become the very thing that we're fighting against. Right? And yeah. I recognize that, but there are so many people that are angry and hurting. There was no insurrection on the Capitol, right? There was bad actors that acted badly. That's what happened. People that acted independently.
For years, not just now, for years.
Yeah.
It's been like this. They've deceived us.
Yeah,
they've hurt us.
Yeah, they have. But we have to be able to stand up in such a way that I do believe that God said in love your neighbor, right? And I posted this on Parler the other day. I said, love your neighbor. I want you to love your neighbor. But you know what else I want you to do? I want you to fight evil. And I do believe that fighting evil means that sometimes you have to punch evil in the face. You have to punch evil actors in the face. I don't mean physically, but if it came to it, that's what happened. But then when you're done, then you pick them up and say, look, these are the limits that we have in our society. But I don't believe that we've ever set any limits right now. We're allowing the left to remove limits, which creates chaos, creates opportunity for them. We've never, as people that love other people, stand up strong for other people, we set limits. We don't enjoy chaos. Chaos to us does not represent anything that's good about our society, and it doesn't represent anything that is honest or driven by integrity. So we recognize that, so we try to avoid it. Well, the left just throws it at you, right? So as a result, people that have integrity want to step out of it. And when we stepped out of it, they filled that void. So I agree with you that we have to love people, but there's a time and a place for everything. And I think right now we've got to become stronger in our conviction for what's right or wrong, and call lies what they are. They're lies. And I think that every time that we take a step back and we're like, I think that these people actually understand it, we miss an opportunity to hold someone accountable. That's why we don't have accountability today. But I agree with you. And I frankly wish that we had better news that would also not embellish the bad, but give us some good. Give us the things that we need in our society that are actually really good things.
Well, you know, the other thing is that I don't think a lot of people realize, you know, I'll be honest, I didn't even read the Constitution until, you know, this year.
Yeah. Yeah. But how about the fact that most kids aren't taught the Constitution? They're not taught it.
Well, let's teach it to them.
Yeah. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I agree with you.
But we need to take the time to teach.
Yeah, well, we are. There's lots of good groups out there that we're combining with as well, and there's lots of groups out there that are doing that as well. Jessica, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. All right, so we're coming to the end of the hour. I got to tell you a little bit about FEC. You can look at it at fecunited.com. And I will, as always, tell you that you know, this fight that we're in, it's not a small fight. And we constantly bring up things, and Max tries to rein me in. He's over here trolling me online, by the way, telling me to get back on topic. I'm on topic. But the topic today is, and I think we'll probably have to rename the second half, which is Joe's Hour. We'll just call it Joe's Hour, talking about what's really happening in our society. But I think it's necessary. I think at some point we have to stop and start talking about how it all comes together. And that they're attacking at every angle, so we're confused, we're dazed. I'm not, because I see it. But most people are. Most people just want to retreat. So they retreat to their house, retreat to their environment, and hope someday it goes away. It's not going to go away. We're in the middle of it. We're in the middle of massive amounts of bad stuff. And you know, by the way, you're over the target, and you're doing great things. Well, not only does the Rhino GOP actually attack you, that's one part. But someone else attacks you, right? So the rhinos attack you on one side when Facebook actually bans the use of fecunited.com. So I want you to go to the website, and then I want you to go to your Facebook page and put in fecunited.com and see what Facebook does to you. They're going to say, no, we don't allow you to share that. How does that happen? How does an organization that is designed to take care of people in their community, how does it get banned from being able to go onto Facebook? Think about that. Big tech is not about, they see the progress. Every time they see progress, every time they see something happen, they try to cut it off. They see truth, cut it off. You don't cut the tongue out of someone that is lying. You cut the tongue out of someone that is telling the truth. And that's what they've done. So last thing I want to share with you guys before we go, we have actually found, a name, actually, I wouldn't say it's a name, but we have found Mitt Romney. So Mitt Romney, it's interesting. See if I can get it here real quick and send it over to you. Here we go. All right. We have actually discovered people like Mitt Romney, who they are. I don't know if you guys have seen this before, but if you can go ahead and put this up. We have a new name for rhinos, right? No, it's not. Just put it up. So this is, put it up. So this is Mitt Romney. He is a trans Republican. He identifies as a Republican, but is really a Democrat. So I wanted you guys to all know that. This is what we get when you're dealing with the people in the establishment. They must have they must have like a thing on these people. I don't know it. They must have lots of information on Mitt Romney. The Chinese must have an entire dossier on Mitt Romney. But I had to share that with you guys. I want you to know that God is definitely still at the wheel. And there's a lot of things to have hope in. And we got a lot of bad things happening, a lot of bad people doing bad things, but we have to be able to stand together. And so we're going to continue to speak truth. We're going to continue to speak it. I'm going to continue to speak it with courage. And I don't come from a place where I want to be mean or vindictive. I come from a place where I want to solve it and get back to a place where our kids, the future of our generation, or future of our country, and generations after our kids, have the ability to enjoy the same blessings and opportunity that we've enjoyed as people. So until tomorrow, my name is Joe Altman. Thank you for coming to Conservative Daily Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow.